pray that we do see Christ this morning. I feel at home just singing here with you. I feel at home singing about Christ, singing these songs that it is well with our soul. These are songs that we sing at home. So it's wonderful to sing with you. I pray that we are blessed through the preaching of the word. We'll be in Luke 24. I'm going to open there. And I actually preached this 2 weeks ago at a church in California. And I'm excited because it doesn't matter where you go, the word of God is true. There are different backgrounds, there are different cultures, there are different beliefs.
Village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged
Christian strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11, those who were with them, gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do you doubt arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me, and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. And I pray that as we sang, that you would show us Christ. Reveal to us Christ from the word and your glory through your word. Spirit, would you speak to us now? Would you work through your servant? Would you work through your word? Would you work in our hearts? Says, "But them questions. And they respond to him. And he then responds to them in verse 25. And he says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe." To believe what? All that the prophets have spoken. It says, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things?" See, he's having a conversation with them, right? He's on this road, they're walking, and he asks them a question. Was it not necessary? And he phrases it in such a way that it's like these men should have known. They should have known. Wasn't it necessary? You know, if I was to ask that to you, wasn't it necessary that such and such? It would be like you should know this already. These men should know this, and what should they know? Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? They should have known certain things about Christ. And it says, was it not necessary? And it's in relationship to what all of the prophets have spoken. The prophets is the Old Testament. The prophets spoke from God. And it's even more clear in verse 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then in verse 45, you see the same thing. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures in response to what? To what was written. Look at verse 44. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written, right, the scriptures, about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And so Jesus is in control of opening and closing of their faculties, opening and closing of their understanding. But their understanding of what? Their understanding of him, their understanding of the revelation of him from Scripture, and their understanding of the Bible itself and the true overall message of the Bible. That is what Jesus is in control of opening. I've heard many people say, "I wish I was there for this sermon." Right in verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all that the scripture, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." And it's a good desire. I wish I was there to hear how Jesus would have preached from the Old Testament about himself, because that's what the scriptures were at that point in time, right? They did not have the New Testament at that point in time. It was yet to be written and recorded. And so, preaching from the scriptures, he's preaching from the Old Testament, and he's preaching about himself. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to see how Jesus did that? We speak of Spurgeon as the prince of preachers. Christ was the prince of preachers. Spurgeon might have been good, but Christ was the prince of preachers. And to hear this would have been amazing. But as I was studying this, you look for what is there in the passage, but you also look for what is not there. And something that's not there is Jesus' words. They don't give you even a hint of any words that he said. This could have been, it says in my Bible, 7 miles. I don't know if you have it in kilometers. 7 miles, about 15 kilometers or so. It would have taken them about 2.5 hours or so to walk this length. I don't know when Jesus came along at the beginning, the middle, at the end. Let's say he was talking to them for about 2 hours. They have this conversation. He tells them about Christ and all the scriptures. There are a lot of words that are said here, but not even prophets, there are examples from the Old Testament. I want us to look at some general things and some specifics as well. I spoke of the three different divisions of the Old Testament. The prophets, the writings, the law, the writings of the prophets. And if you think of the law, Moses, that's what Jesus referred to it, the law of Moses. The law of Moses is again the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these speak of priests. These speak of the priestly work that is necessary, Leviticus especially. Think of the tabernacle, which is built in that time and described in detail. This tabernacle is a representation of God's presence on earth and man and his need to approach God. That's what a priest does. Jesus himself is the highest priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews is an incredible book. Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. For 40 years, God provided every morning enough manna for the entire people of Israel. And they would go out in the morning and they would gather just enough for that day. And anyone who gathered more, that it would spoil. Except for on Friday, because the next day was the Sabbath and they were to do no work. It was a rest set aside. And so on Friday, they would gather enough for 2 days, and miraculously, that would not spoil. And it was enough for Friday and Saturday. And this manna, why did God provide it? Well, someone might say, because it was God's glorious provision, proving his faithfulness. Over 40 years, he provided this, proving his abundance. trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. If you remember, on the cross, there were people who were mocking Jesus, and these were their words. They mocked him in these words. Let the Lord deliver him. Let him come down from the cross if he is really the Lord. Look at verses 14 and 15. And again, think of the cross. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted with joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. This is what we're supposed to do in trial. Consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that tells the purpose. Why do we focus on Christ, who endured such hostility? For the purpose of not growing weary or faint-hearted. That's what the end of verse 3 says. In your struggle against flesh and blood, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You will never resist to the point that Christ resisted. He was tempted beyond anything that we can endure. Yet he endured without sin. And so when we are tempted, we need to look to him. When we are going through trials, we need to look to him so that we do not grow weary or faint-hearted. One other example before we wrap up. Turn to Ephesians. As a husband, this is a helpful scripture for me. Ephesians chapter 5. Has been preserved down to this age that we can read it. It is your authoritative word, and it all speaks to us about Christ. And Jesus says that we should proclaim his death and his resurrection. God, I pray that if anyone here does not know you, if anyone here does not understand your death, your resurrection, you said in John 6 that the life, the bread that you give for the life of the world is your flesh. I pray that we would each follow Christ and we would have this eternal life that he gave. And as we read the scriptures and as we live our lives, we would seek to understand Christ from the scriptures and be strengthened by him and encouraged to see him more and to worship him. And we ask this in Jesus' name.